Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the Sound. This is Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. Thanks for tuning in to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. In late March, the Bridgeport Regional Business Council, in partnership with Connoisseur Media, brought the Engage and Grow Expo to the Total Mortgage Arena. This was more than just an event. It represented a dynamic gathering of leaders, innovators, and businesses dedicated to driving growth and making a difference in communities throughout the Greater Park City region and beyond. And For the People was there, connecting with local, nonprofit, educational, and business support organizations, including SCORE, the Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants, the Southwest Community Health Center, the Southwest Connecticut Manufacturing Partnership, the Housatonic Community College Advanced Manufacturing Technology Center, the Coastal Chapter of Habitat for Humanity, and the Center for Family Justice, and more. So tune in and check out a sampling of interviews and get prepared to engage and grow. We'll bring you to the floor of Bridgeport's Total Mortgage Arena right after this. For two decades, Naugatuck's Duck Day has delighted both the young and the young at heart, growing into one of the region's most cherished gatherings that also helps area nonprofits as an important fundraiser as their representatives sell tickets matched with the very ducks that'll be released to compete for top prizes. This year, the celebration marks the 20th occurrence of Duck Day on Sunday, June 1st from 11 to 4. So mark your calendars and plan to come out and help commemorate 20 years of community camaraderie and ducks in downtown Naugatuck. And if you're a nonprofit interested in getting in on fundraising, you need to sign up now to sell tickets. Distribution starts April 14th, and you have until May 18th to put as many ducks in the water as possible to benefit your cause. For details, just go to cometoduckday.com and scroll until you see the sign up button for nonprofits.
Super.
Well, we are here at the Engage and Grow Expo at the Total Mortgage Arena in Bridgeport, and ran into an organization that is near and dear to us at the award-winning For the People, and pleased to make the acquaintance of two new friends from SCORE. Rakesh Chandra and Ashwini Bhaskar are with us here networking and interacting, hopefully with some fledgling business people. Talk to me a little bit, Ashwini, and explain to the folks that are listening about how SCORE can help them, whether they think they know everything about the business they've been in for 30 years or the dream that they've had for the past few moments.
Oh, thank you very much. I totally appreciate the opportunity, first of all. And SCORE is a great organization. If you've not heard about it, we are a nonprofit that helps people start businesses. So if you have a business idea and you want to take it to fruition, please call us. Yeah, the services are at no cost to the user, and we have about 110 volunteers who have an average of 40 years experience, either in corporate or in running businesses. So we can help anybody who has a business idea to start.
And you're representing a SCORE from what part of the state?
So we are, great question, by the way. So SCORE is a national organization. We have about 220 chapters throughout the nation. What we, Rakesh and I, represent here is SCORE Fairfield County. So we cover the Fairfield County starting from Greenwich all the way till Trumbull.
Okay.
Right, so about 900, a million people is what is in my territory.
And what is the background that you bring expertise to on behalf of the people you mentor?
Sure. So I have about 25 years of corporate experience in IBM, Accenture, in management consulting companies. And then I quit corporate and started my own business. And I was at it for about four and a half, five years. Recently, I quit everything and I've started giving my time back to doing this wonderful work with SCORE.
So I think what you're known in the SCORE circles as is the grand prize when it comes to mentors.
Well, yeah, I mean, we like people, you know, all
20,
our
20 plus years at IBM. I mean,
sure.
You had me at IBM.
Sure. I mean, Rakesh has had, 40 plus years?
No, I had 52 years in IBM.
Fantastic. Wow.
Across many countries, many, functions as well.
So Rakesh, what was the most recent exciting younger person that you've had the opportunity to work with. Tell us a little bit about the dream you're helping come true.
So I've got multiple clients who have been my clients for the last 4 or 5 years.
We're making you pick your favorite child, basically.
Right. One of my clients she runs a business of window treatment.
Yeah.
And when she and I started to work together, it was like a $40,000 a year for her in terms of her income. Last year, she made $200,000 of income from expanding the business, getting better clients, more clients, etc. So that, I think, is great. She has her own website. I would say, very successful entrepreneur from that point of view.
That's a perfect example of how an existing business person could take advantage of Square Services. Right. Ashwini, how about for you? Have you had anyone come to you who is either stuck because they got downsized out of a job and they don't know where to go, or somebody with a dream who's starting from the scratch?
Sure. I mean, you know, we've had so many people who have either been laid off or they're trying to augment their salary, you know, doing some gig work, right? But you know what I would like to talk about would be our chapter. Last year, just to give you a sense of scale, we get roughly about 80 to 90 requests per month for mentoring.
Wow.
Right? So last year, we did almost 1,000 hours of, you know, mentoring with our people, right? And we did about 100 plus workshops in the territory, which means two workshops every day, every week, two workshops, right? So all kind of business education using AI, using social media, how to sell on TikTok, how to sell on Amazon. So I think we are super excited about that part. I mean, as a chair, I devote more time to creating these programs where we can create a multiplier effect for our participants than really doing one-on-one mentoring. I do a little bit of mentoring, but not as much anymore.
Well, as you think back in your time with SCORE, can you think of a case where you took somebody from zero to 100 in however many steps it took?
Sure. So there was a company, you know, which is into mortgage business. They are based out of, they have an office in SHU. What is that place called, Rakesh?
SHU.
The top floor that we used to be at. So anyway, there's a business place there. And this gentleman, this gentleman was starting a mortgage company, starting with zero.
Right.
Right? And right now he's sitting at about, you know, $300,000, $400,000. Yes. Yes. He's doing really well. He's really well.
Well, that's two great examples. One of a really grassroots kind of homey business, and another one that is, an ultra corporate success story. And I guess that really sort of represents the entire spectrum of what SCORE does.
But can I mention that, you know, just to give you a sense of our impact. So last year, and remember, we measure our year like SBA from October to September.
Oh, okay.
Right? So in the last year, Fairfield County chapter, my chapter and Rakesh's chapter, we created 130 businesses.
Wow.
Which were responsible, 500 plus jobs were created.
Fantastic.
Right? So that's the kind of impact that we like to make. And if you think about it, 130 businesses in a financial year is roughly what, two businesses a week?
Right?
We're creating two businesses a week.
Yeah.
Super proud of that.
So does the Fairfield County chapter have its own designated website?
Yes, we have a designated website, www.score.org / Fairfield County.
Very
and
good.
The card that we gave you, I think at the back of it, you'll see the addresses.
Oh, very good. Yes. Well, thank you so much for taking some time to help remind people what SCORE is all about. And no matter where you are in your business life, SCORE probably has something to offer thanks
to
the thousands and thousands of incredible volunteers just like you guys.
And, you know, I think here is the key point. We can bring skills from all over the country that may be existing in SCORE to help a client,
right?
So if a client thinks he has got some very specialized skill requirements, we can provide that.
Yes. As well. Right.
Excellent.
Thank
Nationwide
you very
Resources.
Much.
Yes, thank you. Rakesh, Chandra, and Ashwini Bhaskar from the SCORE chapter here in Fairfield County, part of the networking going on here at the Engage and Grow Expo at the Total Mortgage Arena in Bridgeport. Gentlemen, great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Great. Thanks a lot.
I can't let Mark Antonini retire without giving him a few minutes on the radio. He serves the Center for Family Justice, which is a dear organization to all of us at Connoisseur Media. Mark is the Chief Financial Administrative Officer. And Mark, thanks for taking some time today.
John, thank you very much.
So just let folks who may not have heard the many segments across our stations about your organization, let them know what you all do.
Yeah, so we provide the confidential and free services for domestic violence, sexual violence, and child abuse.
So do you have a specific area of service?
So our catchment area is Bridgeport, Fairfield, Trumbull, Easton, Monroe, and Stratford. However, we will serve anyone. You know, once again, everything is done free and confidentially, and we'll serve anyone that comes in.
So tell me a little bit about your role, which, as I mentioned, and hopefully I'm not, people aren't going to be hearing the radio going, what, he's retiring? But how have you helped shepherd this agency to the place where it is today? You guys serve an amazing number of people.
So we serve over 5,000 clients a year. And, you know, I joined the center about 12 years ago. Most of my career was in corporate America. And I was lucky enough to meet Deb Greenwood, who's the president and CEO of the Center for Family Justice. And she was looking for someone to come in and work on some of the financial stuff. And I said to her, I really would like to do that, but I also want to be more involved. And I will tell you, it is obviously life-changing. I mean, one of the things that the Department of Justice talks about is how to have less homicides. And the model that we have, which is the Justice Center model, which also includes a Justice Center in New Haven and in New London, which will be coming soon, it's really something the Department of Justice says helps reduce the homicides.
Very good. How do folks get to know you? Are you referred to them typically in the law enforcement or judicial track?
Great question. That's something that was near and dear to me because, quite honestly, I live in Bridgeport, born and raised, had never heard of the Center for Family Justice. And so we actively do a lot of different things, social media. We do work, obviously, very closely with law enforcement. It is always the toughest thing for someone to make that phone call because you do have to make it yourself or come to our door. You know, we provide services 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. We have a safe house. If you need to leave somewhere immediately, we would either put you there or someone else, somewhere else that is safe. We also try to work with, and obviously like with Connoisseur Media, has been very helpful with PSAs, just getting the word out, you know, working with other news outlets and organizations to get the word out. And even events like this today, you know, having a table here, we've met a lot of people to raise awareness.
So I understand you have some activities coming up to help more people get to know the Center for Family Justice.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that's something I always like to talk about. We actually have a tremendous event, and actually this is our 13th annual Walk a Mile in Her Shoes that's going to take place on April 26th. It starts at 8 a.m. at downtown Fairfield train station. A marvelous event. We get about 1,500 folks that come out. A lot of them are students from Sacred Heart, Fairfield University, a lot of the high schools as well. You don't have to actually wear the red high heels. It's about a mile walk. And then we have a very short presentation at the end. And the money that's raised at this event goes to our Pathways to Hope program, which is a program that kids from 7 to 17, we actually send them to camp over the summer. And during the year, we actually provide all kinds of fun things for them to do.
What are some of the other programs that you're seeing heavy demand in right now at the center?
One of the big programs, and I mentioned Pathways to Hope, which is a phenomenal program for kids. But where we need some help is we have a program which provides free legal services. Now, the one thing about that is trying to raise money for legal services is very difficult. So we're working with private foundations. There's no government funding for that. And this would help you if, 'cause imagine going to court without a lawyer. So this is really helpful if you need a lawyer.
Because usually the perpetrators somehow find the money to get a good one.
Yes. Unfortunately, with domestic violence, you always see not just physical abuse, but emotional abuse, financial abuse. And a lot of times, yes, the perpetrator sometimes controls the purse strings. So the the victim in this case would need, the free support and the confidential support that we provide. But once again, that's an area that we really could use some help and funding.
Any additional things that you'd like people to know about the center before we start planning your retirement party?
Well, no. Lauren said she's not going to give me another retirement party because we had one last year. And I am still working a couple days a week in a senior advisor role, which I love. I'll never leave the center. Like I said, I'm a Bridgeport resident, so I love working here. I love all the people I work with as well. I think one last plug, we do have a golf tournament coming up, too. It's I don't know the exact date at the top of my head, but it's the day after Father's Day in June.
Oh, okay. Very good. Great to meet you, Mark, and give you a few minutes to talk about an organization that's so dear to us at Connoisseur Media. Here on the floor at the Engage and Grow Expo at Total Mortgage Arena, Mark is the Chief Financial and Administrative Officer for the Center for Family Justice. If you need their help, you can learn more about them at centerforfamilyjustice.org. Or if you are in the greater Bridgeport region and you're in crisis and you call 211, chances are good that you'll be meeting Mark and his team. So, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sean. Appreciate it.
Continuing our meandering around the Engage and Grow Expo at the Total Mortgage Arena here at Bridgeport, I have run into Chris Altrop. He is with the Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants, SIRI. They have been a guest on the award-winning For the People on a number of occasions. And I probably haven't thought more and sent more good energy towards folks like you in the past few months than ever before. So I guess asking you how's it going is probably almost a stupid question.
Well, yeah, I mean, the good thing is that there are, just even here at this event, I mean, there's a lot of people coming by. They're very supportive, want to know how it's going. And we feel that a lot from other agencies, funding partners, and folks like you. You know, we feel a lot of support and a lot of concern for the refugee and immigrant community. So, you know, obviously agencies like ours are facing challenges. But, you know, there's still a ton
of nothing like the people you're trying to help.
That's right, exactly. Yeah, that's where the real hardship is. And, you know, our clients are facing very difficult circumstances and decisions. A lot of them are afraid to leave their houses and their kids to schools. And then, of course, we had a whole a significant group of refugees that were ready to come in January and were told that they couldn't come. So, yeah, that's where the real hardship is.
Certainly families and children break my heart, but I also have such great concern for so many of the folks around the world who have supported and helped the U.S. at their own peril, who are shut out of the opportunity to find freedom here in the country.
Right. And, you know, SIRI has been around since 1918 and really represents the best of the American enterprise, which is to be a nation of immigrants. And that's what SIRI's done since 1918. So, yeah, we're disappointed to see that aspect of really who we are as a country changing a bit. But we anticipate it'll come back.
And in terms of those moms and kids and dads and children, the families, tell me a little bit about how people can particularly help those folks through your agency.
You know, we have lots of volunteer opportunities. We have a large children's and youth program that does summer camps during the summer. We have a monthly Explorers Club where they go to different organizations. And so we're always looking for volunteers for that. We have lots of opportunities with English language training. People just to mentor. You don't have to be an English teacher to do it. Just if you speak English, you could probably be a mentor for some of our folks. And we have a large economic employment workforce training that's always looking for folks that could come and talk about how to do an interview, how to write a resume, you know, those kinds of things. So there's lots of opportunities.
So obviously you saw the storm clouds gathering, but can you explain a little bit how your organization may have had to pivot to, you know, address the fast-moving changes that the folks that you're trying to help are also facing?
Yeah, well, you know, the good thing is that our board and senior leadership planned for this as much as you could plan for it, and for the last 2 years had been talking about what might happen and how that might affect us. So to some degree, this wasn't a surprise. You know, the loss of new refugee arrivals is, that's a big part of what we have done. And so that's disappointing. We make a 5-year commitment to refugee clients. So we still have 1,500 refugee clients that we're working with who are here in Connecticut. But our Immigration Legal Services Department has seen an increase because it's become more and more complex for everybody. So our case managers and lawyers are working very, very hard right now. But, you know, we had a strategic plan before this happened, and that was to, we have state money to move into a new headquarters, and which we're doing, and we're going to expand programming there, including economic empowerment, workforce training for folks. And so we're plowing straight ahead while at the same time dealing with, you know, some of the financial and other challenges that have come with this.
It seems to be up in the air a little bit, but you have sister organizations, even right here in Connecticut, that have alluded to the fact that they may have to go out of business. Does that mean a handoff and increased workload and demand on organizations like SERI?
Mm. Yeah, I mean, you know, we're very close to JFS Greenwich and IRIS in New Haven, and have been collaborating in approaching the legislature in Connecticut and seeking other funding resources there. So we have a history of working together, and so, you know, if something happens with one of those organizations, we'll do all we can to assist those clients.
So I guess the last thing to talk about is how can people get to know your organization and perhaps provide either some volunteer energy or financial support?
Right now, the easiest way is to go to our website, sericc.org, and there's a volunteer place on that. Just click that, and you can tell us things that you would like to do, as well as we have a sort of general list of ways that you can get involved. So we would love for folks to do that.
SERICT.org for the Connecticut Institute for Refugees and Immigrants. Chris Altrock is with us here at the Engage and Grow Expo at the Total Mortgage Arena, one of the many exhibitors today doing very important work on behalf of the thousands of folks that they have already begun to show a new life here in Connecticut and in America. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Well, as we make our way around the floor and the Total Mortgage Arena, I'm pleased to catch up with an organization that's been a guest before on the award-winning For the People, Southwest Community Health Center. Samuel Diaz III is their Chief Strategy Officer. And Samuel, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So I'm not sure there's ever been a time when community health centers have played a more important role in addressing a lot of the concerns that are facing our communities.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, community health centers right now, we're all at a stance unified to serve the community the best we can and in these unforeseen waters, because we don't know what's coming up, but we want to do our best to continue these uninterrupted services to the most vulnerable populations.
Now, at Southwest, what's your primary service area?
So we are a full-service medical facility. Yeah. You know, we have medical, dental, behavioral health services. Then we also have a same-day healthcare center that just opened up. It's offering radiology, so x-ray services. And then we're also within a lot of the homeless shelters, with our newest being at the Thomas Merton Family Center.
Excellent. So what are a couple of things that you are what are a few of the tools that you guys use to help bring in people who either may be stigmatized by the idea of going to a public health center or maybe of the type that they can just tough it out when they're not feeling too good or they've got an ache or pain?
Yeah, you know, we really lean into grassroots. Healthcare is about making relationships and creating bonds. If we can gain your trust that we will take care of you and your family, then we know that we'll have you as a lifelong patient. So we're really grassroots, you know, bootstraps up, and let's get out there and talk with the community, do educational sessions, offer pamphlets, anything that you may need, so that when you need us, we're there to help you.
I see you have an event coming up in mid-May, one of those grassroots outreaches happening. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so on May 14th, we'll be having our open house at our 46 Albion facility. So this is open to a lot of our community partners to just come in, see what we're operating with in that 46 Albion facility. We do have 7 other locations around the city, but 46 Albion Street is our headquarters. And that'll be a night that we can enjoy some food together. We can enjoy education about the health services that we offer at the center and give tours of the facility.
So it's 5:30 to 8 p.m. at 46 Albion Street in Bridgeport, and folks just need to go to your website to learn more?
Yeah, they could just go right to swchc.org, or they can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, SouthwestCHC.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit more about the Thomas Merton Family Center.
So Thomas Merton Family Center was a partnership. We've been partnered with the Thomas Merton Center for years now. And when they opened up a new facility on State Street, they approached us and said, how can we bring healthcare and homeless shelters together? And there we were able to offer family medicine practice in addition to behavior health services. So that site is located, it's on State Street, and we are open Tuesdays and Thursdays with family medicine from 8:30 to 12, and then Wednesdays and Fridays from 8:30 to 12 for behavior health.
Right. It seems appropriate here in a hockey arena that I correlate my comment about somebody who serves as a chief strategy officer. Your job is basically skating to where the puck is going to be. What are some of the things that you think are in store for Southwest Community Health Center in the near or mid future?
We're really looking to just deepen the impact that we're making within the community. We've been expanding sites for a while now. The most recent that's on the horizon is a project that's with the Wakeman Boys and Girls Club on Madison Avenue, where we will be offering dental, medical, and behavioral health services to the North End community. That right now is a project that has been in the works for a few years now, and we're still trying to get the funding and get the backing for it from different community champions that can help to donate towards that project because they believe in the mission of Southwest Community Health Center.
Sounds like you guys have a great track record of partnering with other organizations with either the kind of needs that you fill or similar lines of support.
Absolutely. As I said before, you know, healthcare overall and the mission for Southwest Community Health Center is to offer barrier-free healthcare. We want to build relationships. So what better way to build relationships than to look into our community partners and how can we lean on each other to offer those services? We're all servicing the same community, the same populations. Let's not make it harder for them to receive services. Let's make it easier. So like a partnership with Wakeman Boys and Girls Club, we're coming together, not only servicing the youth, because we have school-based health centers across the city, and when school's not in session during the summer, where are these kids located? They're located at the summer camps, at the different community centers. So how can we bring the health services there so that parents don't have to leave work when their child has a tummy ache or a runny nose? We can service them right on site, and then if there's still a need to come out, then you could come and pick them up. But otherwise, we can give them the services that they need right where they're at.
From a practical standpoint, to the extent that you may know, what is one of the more concerning health trends that you're seeing amongst the populations that you're serving, that you're really kind of working overtime and maybe keeping you up night needing to address?
The importance of preventative health care. Right now we're facing a time that, you know, certain populations may be afraid to visit the health center because of whatever you know, barriers they're facing.
Threats.
Exactly. There is some perceived threats. We know what we're embarking on, and we want to make sure that we are driving home the importance of this preventative health care so that we can avoid chronic diseases, so that we can avoid the emergency room visits, so that we can avoid the influx into urgent care centers, which will be more expensive for these patients to receive the care that they need.
Very good. Samuel Diaz III is the Chief Strategy Officer for the Southwest Community Health Center. SWCHC.org is their website. If you live within their jurisdiction and you feel that you have a need for health care, dental care, mental health care, and a number of other auxiliary services, they are, to some extent, a one-stop shop for all of these and available for you 365 days a year. Samuel, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, longtime listeners to our award-winning For the People know how much we like to put the spotlight on Connecticut manufacturing and how hard we work to try to attract individuals that might be interested in starting a career or starting a new career in manufacturing. And that may be where our next guest, Denise Weaver, comes in. She's director of the Southwest Connecticut Manufacturing Partnership. Denise, did I get it right? You guys are in the business of recruiting workforce and fortifying the absence of 3,000 to 4,000 jobs in Connecticut every month in the manufacturing sector.
Yeah, that's close. Absolutely. We work with the manufacturers to find out who they're looking for, what roles do they need to fill, and what skill sets do they need for those people to have when they come to get the jobs. So we work closely with different universities in the area, with the workplace, with the Housatonic, with Goodwin's University of Bridgeport here, and the Southern Connecticut, Connecticut State Southern University, to ask them to build courses that will help fill the open jobs that are here. So whether it be intro to manufacturing, or one of the new areas we're focused on, of course, is AI in manufacturing. So what can people bring to the table that people in manufacturing may not have yet? AI is a great idea. Bring that AI in, so now they're adding value to these manufacturing companies, many of which have been around for many, many years.
I thought when I was doing interviews like this 20 years ago, and I was talking to people about what advanced manufacturing in Connecticut is today, and it's not the dirty, oily kind of job you go to when you can't really do anything else. This is a spectacular career, and if I understand correctly, folks in your line of work are looking as young as middle school to get kids interested before they develop a stigma sort of against science and math, right?
Well, absolutely. It's in schools, right? We learn about English, math, science, right? How you build things, how you create things, that seems to have gone out of a lot of the schools along the way. It's coming back now. Go back to woodworking, go back to building cars, go back to understanding how things work, and then people will be so interested in walking into these manufacturing roles because it's amazing, and you can build anything. You have a need, you can build it. You have a problem, you can solve it with building something new and different.
So tell us about a couple of the types of manufacturing entities that are creating the greatest help wanted ads in your catalog.
Well, if we look at somebody like a Microboard, they're growing leaps and bounds. You look at ASML, they're here today as well. They're growing. There's many growing companies. PTA Plastics. We have OEM Controls. They happen to be here, too. They the joysticks,
yes.
That's fun, right? They're growing as well. Stelray Plastics. So we have a lot of companies right here in the area and all looking for wonderful qualified workers to really make a difference in their organizations.
And your partners in education are making it so easy to help attract and train these people. I mean, even certificate programs are turning out job candidates that are walking into $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year jobs, sweet benefits, clean environments, friendly workplaces.
Yeah, absolutely. The workplaces, you know, it's amazing when you walk into some of these manufacturers today and you see that it's, you know, Valentine's Day, or you see that it's St. Patrick's Day. There's so much excitement and community within these areas. And we're partnered with Goodwin University, University of Bridgeport. They have a welding program. Who knew that there was a welding program right here in Bridgeport? And we have people going through that welding program that are going to come out. And manufacturers need a welder. They need an electrician. They need all these other fields as well as assemblers and engineers.
Sure.
And so
don't forget our Make It Here program advertises our submarine program. They need a few welders over there at Electric Boat.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And not just welders.
No. Yes. They are hiring tons of people, for sure. For sure.
So who are the folks who you work with that are not yet tied to this organization? I mean, are you looking for the manufacturers, maybe the smaller companies that may be pressed to the limit to fill their orders and keep the doors open, and they just don't have the time?
Yeah, absolutely. From the Department of Labor, it says there's 1,200 manufacturers in Southwest Connecticut. I want all of those to connect with us, to get our monthly newsletter that we have, where we share all the different programs that are available to manufacturers from the state of Connecticut. There's money, there's grants, there's tax incentives, there's programs, there's training, all for free that people can take advantage of, or there's some matching programs that are available. And we just want to connect people. We want to connect the manufacturers to the programs. We want to connect the manufacturers to the schools. We want to help them connect with the schools directly themselves, because the schools want the companies to come in and meet the students. I mean, it's a win-win. So we're looking for all manufacturers to reach out to us so that we can connect everyone together.
Facilitating great partnerships, and I see you also have a survey that you're asking people to answer. Is that something that's an ongoing thing?
Yeah, we always want to know, because today, who do you need to hire today is different than tomorrow, right? So always keep telling us who you're looking for, what roles you're looking for, so we can train them up and get people ready for when you have those roles open.
Very good. So the website for folks to go to learn more about your work?
ctmakesit.com.
Denise Weaver is the director of the Southwest Connecticut Manufacturing Partnership right here out of Middle Street in Bridgeport, just a block away from us at the Engage and Grow Expo here at the Total Mortgage Arena. Great to meet you, Denise. Good luck.
Great. Thank you so much.
From the floor here at the Engage and Grow Expo at Total Mortgage Arena, I have run into somebody from the Connecticut State Community College who's a tonic. His name is Adam Scobie, and he is with the Advanced Manufacturing Technology Center. Adam, thanks for taking a few minutes to talk to us. Maybe we do so much promotion of manufacturing in Connecticut and destigmatizing of that type of career that we don't need to talk more about it, but I'm compelled because over the past decade, the Housatonic branch of the community college system has had some incredible installations and growth to make sure that your students are on the cutting edge of the technology being used in many of the manufacturing areas who you're pipelining students into.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. In the last 12-13 years that we've been running, we've just continuously been expanding. So our program focuses mostly on CNC machining. So we have a wide variety of machines on our campus. We have both manual mills and manual lathes, and then CNC mill and lathe, which is just the automated version of those. We work very closely with industry in our area to make sure that we are hitting the exact objectives that they want so that they will hire our students after they graduate from our program. So we're consistently pushing our program further so we can push our students further to get them out into industry.
So for a student who may be considering what they're going to do after high school or if they've taken a break after high school and now it's time to get into the workforce, what are a couple of the fastest track ways that your program can offer them to get them right out onto the manufacturing floor and into the manufacturing job force?
Yeah, so the entire point of our program is to get people in, get them trained, and get them out to work. Our program is only 9 months long. Sounds like a long time. When I'm talking to a lot of the high schoolers, I joke around and say it's their fifth year of high school. We run very similar to what the high schools do. We're here Monday through Thursday, 8:30 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. It's rigorous for a college program, but considering the amount that they learn in those 9 months to get them ready to go out into the workforce, it's really not too bad.
I found a lot of people are concerned that they lack the math and science background, or they think they lack a math and science background, which would completely rule them out of any type of job in manufacturing.
So my response to that would be our program is built for the non-traditional student, the students that don't love the idea of sitting through lecture classes. They don't love the idea of sitting through math and science classes. Obviously, it's always an advantage to be somebody that loves math. But typically, the students that come into our program, they have no manufacturing background. We have a class called Manufacturing Math that starts off at the bare bone basics. This is a fraction, this is a decimal. And by the end of our program, we have them doing light trig. So we build them up. So if anyone is afraid of that math portion, don't be afraid. We will build you up to the point where you need to be for this field.
Does your training and your team of educators also interface with other tracks or programs at the college? In other words, do other types of educational pursuits come into your program to kind of parachute in and take various classes that then kind of feed into another type of career?
So we don't necessarily partner up directly with the other programs within the college just because we are here, like I said, 8 to 4, Monday through Thursday. So there's really not enough time to branch out. If you're in our program, you are in our program and only doing manufacturing. Again, the focus is just get you ready to go in manufacturing. But that said, a lot of our students will move on into mechanical engineering afterwards to try to pursue further. The best engineers out there are the ones that also have that hands-on training. So we're kind of prepping them for either pathway. But the goal really is to get out to work, but there are a lot of students that will come back and continue their education. Our 9-month certificate leads into an associate's degree as well, not specifically in mechanical engineering, but it is a pathway associate's degree that'll lead on to a bachelor's degree at other universities in Connecticut.
So if I'm the parent of a middle schooler or high schooler who is stuck to their screen and is not sure what they want to do, what would you say to them?
So the best thing we could do for the middle schoolers and the early high schoolers is just expose them as much as possible. And so Housatonic, we partner up with a lot of different schools in the area just to do that. If you have a child that's, you know, junior year, senior year of high school, the best thing you can really do is try to get a hold of us, come down to Housatonic and take a tour. If you have somebody that just transitioned out of high school, they're now looking for a college pathway, or maybe they've been out of high school for a little bit, we run these manufacturing boot camps. So the way I always phrase these, it's 3-3-3. It's 3 weeks, 3 days a week, 3 hours a day, where we will just introduce them to a little bit of blueprint reading, we'll introduce them a little bit of inspection, and then we get them on the machines. And the whole point behind this is to get them accustomed to what manufacturing is like, so they have a better idea as to whether or not they want to do this come September when the semester starts. And we run this for free because we want people to actually experience it.
Do you have one coming up in the next few months?
The first one is coming up in May. I don't have the exact date, but...
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, they can look it up.
Yes.
If they hear about it. How about for second or even third career candidates?
Yeah, so we've had a lot of people do their career change into manufacturing, and honestly, we've had a lot of great success from that. I had a student from a few years ago. He had his bachelor's degree in neuroscience and realized that it wasn't for him. And he switched over, and now he's making close to $30 an hour at a local industry partner.
So how do people get to know your organization and your program?
So the best thing they could do, they could give me a call at Housatonic. My number is 203-332-5963. It's Adam Scobie. I'm the director. If they also to just call the GPAs, the advisors at Housatonic, they could send them my way as well.
Is there a website?
It's housatonic.edu. Oh, I'm sorry, it's ctstate.edu now.
Yes, yes. Very good. Excellent. We hope that our little conversation will shake a few more students loose and start trying to offset this you know, sucking absence of workers in the manufacturing workforce. As we said, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 open jobs a day. And as you said before we turned on the mic, we probably will never fill them all.
Yeah, we need as many people as we get in manufacturing. It's a very safe career path to get into right now. There will always be a job available for somebody with this background.
Can't beat that. Mark Scobie with the Advanced Manufacturing Technology Center at Connecticut State Community College, Housatonic. Adam, thanks.
Thank you.
Well, we couldn't come to the Engage and Grow Expo without engaging with an old friend. Carolyn Vermont is with us now. She's CEO of Habitat for Humanity of Coastal Fairfield County. And man, if there isn't a region of the state that needs Habitat for Humanity right now, it's Fairfield County. How's things going?
So things are going well. Could be better. You know, in Connecticut, we are short 98,000 units of affordable homes for low-income and even moderate-income families. So at Habitat, we continue to build brand-new homes, 3 and 4 bedrooms. So we cannot completely solve the housing problem, but we are one house at a time. Our homeowners, they're low-income families, and once we build the home, no down payment, 0% interest, and the mortgage never exceeds more than 30% of the income. And the wonderful thing about it, the homeowners get to help build their home alongside other volunteers and also staff. And so part of that, just investing your time in their own home, gives them a sense of pride.
And talk a little bit more about how the homes Habitat builds brings a greater sense of community to neighborhoods where you work.
So our homes add so much to the neighborhood. Definitely the value. Once we build a brand new Habitat home in a neighborhood, the value of homes in general in that neighborhood starts to go up. But we always say, you know, our homes are in welcoming communities because our families, they get a chance to know the other families. They, you know, work together on neighborhood safety, involved with community events, with the NRZ, the Neighborhood Revitalization Zone.
Sharing the gardening stuff.
Sharing the garden stuff. So, you know, it becomes their community. The community embraces them.
So is Habitat, as far as the Fairfield County division goes, is it exclusively building from scratch new homes? Or are there opportunities that you have to do renovations?
No, we don't do any rehabs at all. It's all brand new homes. So right now, Fairfield just gave us some land. So we're building homes there. But all of our homes are brand new. If you do see any renovation, it might be a home where a family already lived in, but they decided, oh, I want to move to Florida now or move to Puerto Rico. So we'll do whatever renovations we need to do to get the next family into that home. But in general, we don't do any rehabs or renovations.
So donations and volunteers are your lifeblood?
Absolutely. We could not do what we do without volunteers. They come from corporations, they come from the community, and definitely our donors. You know, it cost us somewhere around $250,000 to build a home. And so without our donors, we would not be able to build at the pace that we're building to offer these homes to deserving families.
Having been at a couple of ribbon cuttings, if you will, for Habitat homes, these candidates who are lucky enough to be able to be the recipients, it really is almost better than winning the lottery. Because, you know, money gets spent, but a home is forever. So how do you qualify individuals to be that special candidate that will eventually be unlocking the front door of their brand new Habitat home?
So individuals and families, they apply. And so we have certain criteria. For instance, a family of one is somewhere around $45,000. A family of two, a little higher than that. Once they qualify and submit all their paperwork, they have to go through about a year of training, of budgeting, neighborhood safety, how to be a homeowner versus having a landlord to call when things, you know, break. And so it's a commitment to go through that year process. But if they successfully go through that year process, submit all their paperwork, put in what we call partnership hours, and that's where they help to build their house. So they complete all the criteria, and then they get into the pipeline for when a house become available.
And you also, I imagine, have to engage business or corporate partnerships as well to be able to fortify the workforce of volunteers that get these houses built in due time.
Absolutely. So, for instance, M&T Bank, they give their staff 40 hours of volunteer hours per year. So we get some of them. And we see that with the other corporations. They give their staff X number of hours, volunteer hours each year. And so they come and volunteer at Habitat.
Our Habitat for Humanity Fairfield County projects going all the time?
Yes, continuously. So right now, we're in the process of finishing 4 units in Fairfield, but we also simultaneously have some houses we're working on in Bridgeport. So yes, we're continuously building.
Are you blessed with talented craftspeople who have their own business in the trades who also shave off a little bit of their valuable time to lend a hand to Habitat?
Yes, but not enough. You know, we have a construction staff, and we always, always are looking for volunteers that have those skills. So we welcome them. We can certainly use more.
Excellent. Well, we'll try to get them to come your way if they hear this program. Carolyn Vermont is CEO of Habitat for Humanity of Coastal Fairfield County. You can go to habitatcfc.org. And if I could just take another minute, Carolyn, to just remind people that the Restore is also a pipeline for revenue for you guys.
Yeah, so we have our Restore and folks in Stratford, yes, yes. And so, and as a matter of fact, our offices are there now. We moved from Barnum Avenue to Stratford, so we're all in the same building.
So it's kind of like a big box home improvement store, except you're using all kinds of high-quality materials that have been, either surplus on job sites or things like that?
So for the Restore itself, it's primarily furniture, living room furniture, office furniture, appliances. Okay. So a lot of it is donated, and sometimes we buy new in bulk.
Oh, I get it.
And so we sell it at a profit, and what we make from that goes back into building more homes.
Excellent. If you want to learn more about that, maybe pick up some furniture and do some good for Habitat of Coastal Fairfield County, you can go to fairfieldcountyrestore.org as well. Carolyn Vermont, thank you so much. Great to see you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and great to see you too. I appreciate this.
You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a PSA for our program that's relevant to the audiences and communities we serve, you must make your request for consideration in writing via email to john.vocat@connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program can be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast. Our public file detailing the many critical community and state issues addressed on For the People can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station websites. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scott's, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Vocat. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and information on the award-winning For the People. And don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime. Just find it under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.